please talk me off the ledge and tell me that that Dishonored is going to be cheaper on a flash sale than $29.99.
Nah, you may as well get it now. I mean, wait, is that how the flash sales work? They like go cheaper or something?
Well, I don't know. Like today, I checked this morning, and in that bundle, like Darksiders 2 was constant $20. Like for the, apparently for the whole sale. And then I come home and it says Darksiders franchise, $13.59. Boom. Everything, all the Darksiders shit, all DLC, everything, under $15. Oh, THQ's loss is my gain.
They're just giving shit away, man.
It's like $5 for their entire fucking library right now. It's ridiculous.
I know. Did you hear the news today?
Huh.
The reorganizational news. They filed Chapter 13 or whatever that is, bankruptcy.
Seven.
And there is a third-party buyer that is using an investment firm as a proxy to buy, I guess, all their IP and the company for $50 million, plus they're going to pay another $10 million in debt to the creditors. So for $60 million, they're getting, like, everything.
Wow, that's a fucking steal.
Yeah, and nobody knows who they are. It could be, I'm thinking it could be Ubisoft. Activision. It could be Square Enix.
Yeah, it's Activision.
Oh, God.
No, I don't know. They're too fucking uppity. They'd be like, whatever, we're good enough.
Yeah.
We're perfect.
Look at Tom Clancy's franchise, 31 through 75% off. Who the fuck does 31% off?
Of course, it could also be truly the start of the end of the world, and it could be Microsoft buying it.
Oh, man.
Draw your sleigh, knock out your in-laws, and ready your eggnog. It's time for a Christmas episode from the Gamesmen. What role will you play?
Gals and Guildies, welcome to episode 99 of The Gamesmen. This is the show for the week of December the 24th, 2012. I am Steve Conger, also known as JSS Lifelike on basically every gaming service imaginable. And guess what? The world didn't end on the 21st. So I think we're good. We got a short lease on life. Now they're saying Sunday, and then when Sunday comes and goes, I'm sure they'll come up with something else. But with me championing the continuation of this wonderful world we live in, Daniel Knappen, Hardly Dan.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Well, we're alive. Guess we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I've got to go get some food. Spend it all on beer.
And the rabid Scotsman, Scott McGregor.
Hey, definitely not an advocate for humankind, so that's fine.
So let me tell you, like, I totally wanted to have some sort of doomsday clause initiated and introduced.
Clause? That's good.
God. But, like, what it needed to say was you're not responsible for anything you do on the 20th of December, like the day before that.
No.
So, like, if I were to say, like I said before, like, take a shit right in the middle of the floor at work on the 20th, I can't be held responsible for that, right?
Okay.
Sure.
If that's what you really want to do.
I mean, or, like, you totally, like, fill your car up with, like, cans of gasoline and just, like, drive to the highest cliff you know and just put a brick on the gas pedal. You know, like, the insurance company should cover that. The end of the world clause. Because I just want to see that shit before, like, for myself.
So,
I don't know, man.
The active bucket list.
I know.
Clause. It says for a day you're allowed to do stuff off your bucket list with no
repercussions. It's called the destructed list.
The fucking list.
that's pretty good. I like that better. The bucket list. Yeah.
Mine would be steal a high-end PC.
Yeah. Yeah, that you can't use anymore. You can use it for 6 hours.
Burn it out in a day. Yeah, I could do it.
So, Scott, what's been going on?
Nothing much. You've probably seen a lot of Black Ops 2 being played. Which really did not think that I would even enjoy it. It's not something that, you know, I wanted to pay $60 for, like I said in the last episode I was on. And I didn't. It was, you know, it was a gift. And God, it's just so well balanced. And I haven't been able to say that in any of the other, you know, Call of Duty games.
Interesting.
But it's very, very well balanced. It has a very good feel to it. And I've just been enjoying myself. And I haven't done anything other than like Team Deathmatch for the first 200 hours that I put into it.
200 hours.
Yeah, and I think I'm almost 7th prestige. And
oh, so, my God.
Yeah, I've actually been putting a lot of time
into it. So that's why your presence has been sorely missed in the Winter's Day activities.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I'd like mastered 7 weapons on the damn thing. And then, yeah, I've been putting a lot of time. So, yeah, I was just, you know, pleasantly surprised with that. And then I picked up Darksiders during the, you know, the whole THQ Humble Bundle thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I owned, like, all the games, but I basically just paid $1 for Darksiders. Like, I wanted to play it again, and I wanted to play it again on PC. So I cranked it up, and I put Steam in big picture mode.
Oh, it's so nice, isn't it?
Put it on the TV. Oh, it's so, so detailed.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it looks so much better. Did on the Xbox. I couldn't believe it. And it looked really good on the Xbox for what it was. Yeah. I mean,
you know what's
and funny? So yeah, I'm about halfway through it again. I'm just loving it.
You know what's weird is Steam for me is like totally non-responsive until I put it into big picture mode. And then it's like great. Like it just takes a while to load when it's just in its typical like windowed mode and things like that. But when you put it in big picture mode, man, it's just super responsive.
Yeah, it's optimized really well. They're toying with some new technology and stuff.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that in a little bit. Yeah, Dan, I've kind of softened my position on Guild Wars and how angry I was at it last week because I wanted to fuck it in its stupid fucking ass. So,
wow. Just say how you really feel, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it ends up that
one game's asshole this summer. Take it like a man, Guild Wars.
Bore it out. So it ends up that once the Toy Master gets back to Lion's Arch for the remainder of the Winter's Day stuff, you can go back in and make up the achievements you've missed and things like that. So I was so angry about the game squelching me. I couldn't talk to anybody to get into any parties or nothing. And, oh, it just drove me nuts. And I'm glad that I weathered the uninstallation storm, because I would have been pretty mad if I'd uninstalled it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially finding out the next day that you could have gone back in.
I know, I'd have been pretty angry. Been like, standing on your own nuts, you know?
Yeah.
But, nothing going on, Dan, huh?
Just more Guild Wars.
Yeah, I figured.
Plenty of that. I've got the title. I've done enough to get the Apprentice Toy Master title.
Cool. Yeah, I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get there.
Once you've done all the places, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, I figured as much. We had a nice little party last night.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, it was Amorous and you and I, Carrie Hartman, Namtra Yurik, and Gary DeFelice at Real Defoe. So we had a nice little five-person thing and went in and made up one of those achievements that I needed, and now I only have one more to do, and we'll have to get at that and then do some PvP and stuff. So,
although it scales you up to 80, the guys that we were with, they had fairly basic weapons and armor, didn't they?
So. Yeah, it was a little rough. It was a little rough.
Yeah.
I mean, even
we got there.
Even with me at my level 40, level 50 gear, it's rough, but. Mm. The tanking helps. Now that I know how to do that, it helps a lot.
Oh, yeah, hell of a lot. But yeah, that was pretty much all I've been doing.
Cool.
Well, you know what else I played was DayZ. I forgot about that.
Kind of neat or what?
We decided to go on the public servers after, you know, learning on a private hive that I set up on the server so that we could, you know, just kind of learn how to deal with the apocalypse.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
to speak. And then when you go online, there are other players that can just be like total assholes, and you know they can be bandits, and there's some people that can be heroes. And like if you earn enough karma by like healing other players, then you get like a hero skin, and you can like run faster and heal people faster stuff like that. And then if you're a bandit, you get a bandit skin, and just everyone hates you. So, but we have some amazing stories of just like getting attacked and like a nuke going off in a city. And
does it excite you for something that is not just a mod?
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to see what they're doing with their final product. They are moving their servers today or yesterday. So they're moving all of that to a new location to kind of set up for that, I think. So
oh, cool. Excellent.
Should be cool.
All right, boys. Well, what do you say we get into some listener RPG?
Oh, yeah.
So RPG or role-playing game, for those of you that do not know, normally we take questions, craft two random encounters, and a boss battle, and assign roles to the fellas, make them play out those roles in order to level up and defeat the boss. This week, the RPG questions come from you, user-submitted emails and voicemails, and the first random encounter is for myself and Dan, and comes from Shelby Coulter, Mr. Nebula 427.
Greetings, gamesmen. Shelby here. Since the countdown to 100 is growing ever closer, I figured it's about time for me to get around to sending in a voicemail. My question is an impromptu RPG. Given the recent surge of Vita sales from Black Friday, thank you, Amazon, by the way, Sony may finally have the spark needed to get the Vita ball rolling with a recently expanded user base. However, the 3DS is currently tracking better than the DS did this far from launch. But with a solid grip on the mobile gaming market, smartphones challenge the need for a dedicated handheld. Your RPG is this. The 3DS and the Vita are running for president. Daniel, playing the role of the Nintendocrat, and Steve, playing the role of the Sony publican, are locked in a televised debate to ensure their candidate's success. Any other gamesman present can represent the independent Green Apple Party, see what I did there, and make an argument for the smartphone's candidacy. So, gamesmen, please represent your handhelds and try to sway my vote for your nominee. Oh yeah, and thanks for all the great shows. Sorry to see you go, but you know, you had a good run. Thanks a lot, guys.
Alright, I guess that means, Dan, you're the Nintendocrat.
Oh, joy.
And
then,
and Steve, you are the Sony publicans.
Oh, God.
Fight! No, Dan, what do you have to say?
Well, you know, it's clear which device to go for. It's the one with the two screens and the 3D. I mean, what more would you want? It's awesome. We've got Mario, there's, you know, Mario, more Mario, and we've got some more Mario coming. You know, it's awesome. yeah, I really don't know enough about either of those. I don't know. I mean, you know, we've been in this industry far longer than Sony. They're newcomers to the handheld market, really. I mean, this is what, their second device, and they both suck. You know,
it's Nintendo's 18th device or something. Yeah,
we've got the experience. We know what we're doing. You don't want that big black monolith weighing down your pockets. You know, you can fold a dozen in half. Fits in your pocket, a treat. I have no more answers. Two displays.
Somebody just bash them. Just bash them as much as you can, quick.
All right, so you listening, you probably don't have a PlayStation Vita, which is a shame. But you know what? Black Friday, maybe you picked one up. And, you know, the PlayStation Vita, it's the Cadillac. It's the Cadillac. If you want to drive a Toyota Camry, that's fine. That's fine. But if you want to really trade up to a machine that's built for gamers that are serious about serious games on the go, akin to what's on a console, then you want a PlayStation Vita. So, I'm so tempted here to do like the Mitt Romney binder full of women comment. Like, we have a binder full of games now. We didn't before, but we have a binder full of games.
Didn't before. Yeah.
So, you know, and you have to bear with us, because when hardware's new, you know, there is a limited selection of software. But now, you know, the PlayStation Vita is picking up steam. There are games out. There is a full-fledged AAA Assassin's Creed. We have Call of Duty. You got PlayStation All-Stars, which is great on the go. You know, there's a bunch of downloadable titles for the PlayStation Vita. You know, and if you don't have one, check one out. If you have a buddy that has one, take 5 minutes to play the PlayStation Vita. You will love it. And in buying one, you will help us avoid the fiscal cliff at the end of our fiscal year. So,
yeah, you know, but the lemmings of the industry, apparently, according to Steve.
We at Sony, we don't need gimmicks like 3D that we were real big on last year on our consoles, but now we don't even acknowledge that it exists. But, you know, we take the 3D screen. You know, our competitor has a 3D screen, and the angle, the viewing angle of 3D on the Nintendo 3DS, not all that great. Pretty easy to lose the effect, you know? But we take that one step further, kick the 3D to the curb, and put a beautiful AMOLED screen on the PlayStation Vita. So if you would like to help avoid your own fiscal cliff, I don't even know why that makes sense or anything, so go buy a PlayStation Vita. Who the hell wants kitty? Who wants baby games for a baby handheld?
Does the guy that loves
who does want baby games?
It is the end of the world. Everything's surreal and upside down. I don't.
I didn't say I believed any of this shit.
So, there you go. Well, that sounds to me like a level up.
Oh my god. Yeah, well, I think it's rather funny that that nobody represented the Green Party for mobile devices.
Oh, screw that. That's my phone. Leave it alone. No, I mean, there are, you know, people that didn't enjoy that, I suppose.
You know, it's funny. When I first got my phone, I think I just wanted to see what ran on it.
Yeah.
You know, like how good Dead Space looked and you know, things like that, and Shadow Gun and, man, it's just, first of all, the Razer Max screen gets so hot, I don't even want to play anything on it, you know, if it's on for a while, but it's rough.
It doubled as a hot plate. I think that there's an app for that.
It's nice to have buttons that aren't on the screen, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if there were some physical buttons, then I think there is something to be said for that.
Well, there are, yeah. Some came out yesterday that you can get and stick onto the screen.
Oh, yeah,
by Razer, I think.
Something, right?
Yeah.
Razer Free Play or something, but they're not free, so. Right.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, to me, I have enough problem. I mean, I don't have a problem with battery because of the Max, but I don't want to waste battery on my cell phone, man. Sorry. Don't want to do it. Yeah, I mean, I guess it is what it is, and if I want to play a game on something, then I want to play a game on something that plays games and not something that multitasks. I mean, I know I'm probably the only person on the face of the earth to say that, but
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Not the hardcore gamers, right?
Not the hardcore. Dan, random encounter number two.
This comes from good old Simon D.I.
Simon the Diamond D.I. Yeah. I had to shout him out one more time.
Oh, he's back on the scene.
Well, this is an interesting one. He says, gentlemen, see if you can handle the intensity of this one. With the impending release of Google Goggles, which developer would you want to see create an augmented reality game, ARG, for said goggles? And more importantly, what would you want the game to be?
How fun is that to say? Google Goggles, Google Goggles. One of us, Google Goggles.
Oh my god. Scott, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Yeah, it's got to be some kind of, like, tactical FPS. Oh, I love it. Like Rainbow Six, and, you know, in the old days or something where you're breaching clear, man, and jumping through the air and shooting people. So I don't know, man. It would be a dream come true, ever since Sony pulled out the PlayStation 2 commercials, you know, and started, like, making fake commercials for the PlayStation 9. I don't know if you remember all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's holding, like, a device that puts him in the game, and he's jumping around, pakuing off of stuff and shooting things, and I don't care what it is as long as it's not completely lame, you know? I'll be all right with it.
I think about two things here. Like, the number one, I like to see somehow, like, a Sony platform, you know, a Linux-based platform, along with an Android-based platform, obviously, like Google Goggles and you know, something like that, or a cell phone or something, to go around and I think about when I had my little pocket station that we imported from Japan with Final Fantasy VIII, how we used to take our chocobos on there, you know, and it would bring items back into the game.
Yeah.
So, like, if it just randomly picked out, like, local GPS targets, and you go there and you sort of use your ARG to look around and you find something and you walk over to it and pick it up and bring it back into your AAA game or something like that.
Huh. I mean, they have been doing that whole, like, world map thing where they take pictures from everywhere so that you can essentially stand anywhere in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, or even, like, you know, like a Shadowgate or something like that that's investigative. Or what was the other one? Deja Vu? Was that the other one that was just like Shadowgate back in the day? It was like a gumshoe detective story that you could, okay, I'm a gumshoe. Well, I got this murder case, and supposedly I'm tipped off that there's a clue, an ARG clue at you know, Madison and 128th Street or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I go to that corner and I find that out, and then automatically that thing is pinged back from my goggles or from my phone to the same server that I'm playing it on my console or on my computer.
You can come back with like awesome. Bum vomit on your shoe. And
I literally tripped over a homeless man trying to get this clue for this murder investigation. I almost got stabbed trying to solve a digital murder.
Digitally stabbed. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about Pac-Man.
Well, yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Nom, nom.
That would be awesome. You know, you could have an overlay on the people you see, so if they're playing, they look like a ghost. That'd be awesome.
You gotta go over and, like, do the alligator arms. And
yeah, you maybe not that. I mean, you don't want to look like a complete... Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough you're wearing the Google goggles.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, he finishes off his email by saying, P.S. I'm going to buy these stupid things because it brings me one step closer to becoming a machine.
There you go, it's the future.
Yeah.
Can we just play the Terminator theme right there?
Oh my God.
Come with me if you want to live.
Dan, save us.
Just my idea for a developer to get involved would be, imagine if Call of Duty Elite carried over into Google Goggles and overlaid a fellow Elite member's rank or game attack above their head in real life. This would be achieved by your goggles picking up an IR or RF signal from another pair of goggles being worn by the dude on the train or the coffee shop next to you.
Oh, wait. Could you imagine, like, the number one guy in the world and the number two guy in the world, he, like, travels around and he uses his Google goggles to find the guy that's higher than him and literally, like, does a Jeff Galooly on him with a pipe and takes his knees out.
Yeah. I'm number one.
You know, breaks his hands. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Okay, good.
Shoot, you can even display someone's gamer score above their head. I'm damned excited for the future. And if you guys are reading this, it means the world did not end on the 12th of December.
No, it did not.
21st of the December, even. 2012.
No, it did not. Oh, that sounds to me like a level up. A rather ridiculous level up, but it was a lot of fun.
World tomorrow! I'm there. Yeah, I'm loving it.
All right. So that is two random encounters, and it is time for the Boss Battle. Boss Battle. Boss Battle.
Nintendo Online, where I can find out the secret code to unlocking Mario's secret stage in level 2-1.
Okay, guys, yeah, guildies, it's actually Murphy's Law. Hey, I just wanted to call in. Thought I'd throw up a question possibly to be debated on RPG. So the Steam Box. We had a hotly debated conversation about this on the Overseas Connection, and I wanted to get some of your thoughts and maybe force one of you guys to take the opposition, because I'm sure most of you are pretty amped about Valve's, you know, their entry into the console world. But, you know, my question is, how does Valve position this? You know, is it going to be just a regular PC that's upgradable, in which case doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose? Is it going to be a set of specs and truly be a console, in which case, again, do PC gamers really care? I mean, you already have a PC rig that does what the Steam Box is going to do. As PC gamers, do you really care about the Steam Box? So, that's it. Just throwing that out there. Food for thought. I'm sure you'll be able to expand upon that argument even more so than what I already did. So, good luck on that question. And, gents, I am truly sad that the show is coming to a close. I'm hoping somehow you guys are going to find a way to keep things going. But, hey, if nothing else, it has been a fantastic ride, and I thank you for hours upon hours of enjoyment. All right. I will talk to you later, guys. Bye.
So, everybody, he said, is this the Nintendo hotline where I find out how... Okay. All right, guys. So, Scott, you are Valve. How do you position the supposed Steam Box in a year that is supposedly going to contain three other new consoles, supposedly a Sony, a Microsoft, and probably an Ouya? So how do you do it?
An Ouya?
Yeah, that little tiny that little tiny indie Android box.
Yeah. I hope that he's aiming... Okay, I'm sorry.
We hope to change the industry.
I doubt he sounds like an aging fat Sean Connery, but...
He probably just sounds like he's very hungry.
Oh, game's nice. No, not too... hopefully it'll change the industry. Hopefully, you know, you won't always be paying $60 for reskinned engines every year with a new number on the end of it. You know, hopefully it'll give you reasons to try new games and help you find games that you might like that you might not otherwise try. Really help to bring the indie industry, I guess you'd call it, which is really helping gaming become unstagnant, which is very nice. Hopefully, you know, you'll be able to find games there in that market as well.
Well, and no real barrier to entry, especially coupled with that of the Steam Greenlight program.
Yeah, exactly. So you kind of have your say in that as it is, already. And hopefully that'll continue on the console. I mean, it's not anything that PC gamers will probably be, you know, interested in.
Well, I think that was my next question, Mr. Newell, apparently. I mean, I guess. I mean, or Valve, whatever you are.
Yeah.
Who is this aimed at?
What? God, that's awful.
Okay, never mind. Good. Who's the Steam Box aimed at?
I think it's aimed at people that are tired of the way the industry is now. But you know, you're still going to be able to find all the titles that you're going to be able to find on in any other. You know, I mean, these days it's a matter of what gimmick do you prefer. Do you prefer, you know, Sony's free online play? Do you prefer the controller type? Do you prefer, you know, there's a whole slew of reasons why people would back any given console. But I think a big reason to back Steam's or Valve's new console is that they've treated people right since the start. I mean, really, really well. And that's kind of their main goal.
like I said, I mean, it's not something that PC gamers are going to like need to go out and get, because they can get that same experience by using Steam and by buying their games there. But you never know, maybe there's something in the future for games that might cross platform. You buy it on Steam, you get it on your Valve box, and kinds of neat features like that to kind of help people just buy it for their PC, but console.
Let me kind of step out from the roles for a second and just bring a couple of points to the table. There is a lot of information here that obviously we have no idea about.
Yeah, a lot.
Number one, being chief among them, what are the specs going to be, and how do you design games and how do you port things in order to run on a lowest common denominator piece of hardware?
Yeah, well, I mean, at first you would kind of assume that it would have to be like a DirectX-based thing, but then you don't know if Microsoft is going to have an issue with that, because obviously the Xbox runs off of DirectX. That's why it's called the Xbox.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be a port from PC versions that they downscale. God only knows. I wasn't even sure what Big Picture was going to be, and it was something completely different. I still liked it. I mean,
yeah.
They really just seem to pay attention to what people want. I don't think it's anything that we need to fear. Like, oh no, they're going to ruin the industry. You know, I think it's going to be just more competition, and that's always a good thing for, you know, in terms of growing new ideas. And like I said, the industry is kind of stagnant as it is, so it, you know, it can't hurt.
Now, number two, non-Steam games that you add to Steam on a PC. Is that going to be something that's possible? Like, let's say, Guild Wars 2. We were just talking about it.
Okay.
Would you be able to install something on your Steam box and add it to your Steam library as a non-Steam game and be able to run it on your Steam box?
That's hard to say. I mean, you have to have a platform that could recognize that engine, that can run. I mean, you know, if it's exactly like PC, it just uses an executable file that's attached to DLLs that, you know, links up, that knows how to link from wherever it is to the Guild Wars servers. Yeah, that's absolutely possible. Is it going to be that way? I don't know. That's really hard to say.
Yeah, and there's so much. Like, I think about, do your graphical settings go from high to medium to low to Steam box? You know what I mean? does that happen?
I mean, it's all basically the same guts, right? I mean, it's all circuit boards and you know, wires and SATA cables and whatever. You know what I mean? The disk drives and stuff. It's just how they're utilized, like what system they're run on. I mean, they're probably not going to just run it on like Windows, you know, because then they have Microsoft a fee, and then they have to, you know, and that's probably a mess. So they've probably been developing their own standalone platform, something like Linux or maybe even Linux based, since they have been using since they have been developing and releasing more games specifically for Linux in the last year. That's most likely what it's going to be, or at least something that they've been playing, you know.
No royalties based on the, you know, the kernel.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. So, yeah. It'll probably just be beautiful, because there won't be any limits on it, like there, you know, on Windows or iOS or.
Now, number three, Dan, is it going to be upgradable?
Yeah, that's something I've been wondering, because obviously, if you make it upgradable, then that's going to take away any potential sale of a totally revamped next gen model.
Exactly. And do they take a hit? Do they match it with this next gen technology in as far as the console space and take a hit? I mean, is it worth in the long run to maybe take a hit on hardware?
Yeah, I think if they want to shift it, it's going to have to be comparable to the next PlayStation and the next device from Microsoft, because if not, why would anyone buy it unless it was uber cheap?
I have an interesting idea. Let me add something to the table here, if you don't mind.
No.
You remember when the N64 first came out?
Oh, the expansion pack.
Yeah, they had that little expansion pack. You could pop out and jam that sucker in there. It was better, you know, somehow, for whatever reason.
Higher res textures. Yeah.
There could be, you know, a portion of the console you pop open, you slide it out, and then you slide in the new upgraded version. You know, I mean, you could just be buying sections of hardware to upgrade it. Exactly. You might buy it at a fraction of the cost of what you originally bought.
Or 4 gigs for 8 gigs.
First gen console for. Yeah, I mean, if they could find a way to just package it in a way where they could just, you know, sell you an upgrade card.
Oh, so exciting.
Slide in the new one. It's pretty neat. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Right.
Go ahead. So, I'm just curious. There's just no way to know. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say, I guess, with it.
So, Dan, you being the gamer.
Console or PC?
Well, let's say the console gamer.
Right.
Okay. How opposed would you be to spend, maybe a little bit more on a Steam box that was comparable to next-gen consoles if you knew that you may get a few less of the titles that you would get on a console, but you could get them on sales for $20 and under?
Well, you see, all my friends are on Xbox Live, so, you know, I'm going to want to play with them. So I don't know. You know, I just... You know, my neighbor's got one, we can swap games. It's not going to be so doable.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, how honestly, how much longer are we going to be able to swap games?
Well, probably not much longer, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's for the console gamers, it's going to depend on how many people make that move. If there aren't enough people that they know that are switching over to the Steam box, they may well not do it.
I just bought Darksiders 2, all the Darksiders 2 DLC and Darksiders for $13.59, and it was just $60 awesome. Not even 4 months ago.
Yeah.
It's a steal. I mean,
absolute insanity.
As a PC gamer, I'm more than happy to see it come out, and I wouldn't get one myself because obviously I've got a PC that I'm going to upgrade to.
Yeah.
And but, you know, if it brings more money into PC gaming and to, well, I guess you'd call it PC gaming, but, you know, to Steam and hopefully, you know, it get a resurgence in PC gaming. That'd be awesome.
You know, the odds are astronomical that they would, you know, even do something like this. But I would love to see, like, people taking their 360 games that they bought, just put them in their Steam box, install it on that, and play it.
Well, see, that's the caveat. Is Windows 8 going to be able to play next-gen Xbox games? I mean, that's the tricky thing here. I mean, we have no idea.
Well, so, you're not buying their hardware, so that's hard to say that Microsoft would be that generous.
Yeah, but, I know.
You know, yeah.
But, I mean, even if it's a software sale and an operating system sale, I think they'd be more than happy to let you do it. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But,
yeah, maybe. They're struggling right now, so they might just, yeah.
I mean, who knows? And Valve is picking up Steam.
No victory.
All right.
Yeah, sorry, I just had a thought about that. Well, it's not just being made by Steam. They're releasing the specs so other manufacturers could also produce their versions of the Steam box.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
perhaps the next Xbox or the one after could have a Steam box in with it as well.
Well, it's true. That is. It makes me think about the 3DO and the Panasonic 3DO and, you know, all that stuff from back when everybody used to kind of make their own proprietary version of stuff. Interesting.
Yeah.
And that sounds to me like the boss is down. You win. All right, boys, we had one email this week, and it comes from BigRob029. So he says, "Exit Stage Left" is the title of the email. And he says, "I am bummed to see it go, and congratulations on making it to 100 awesome episodes." I mean, we haven't yet, but I mean, assuming the world doesn't end. Wouldn't that be shitty if you get to 99 and the world ends? And you're
just as you're about to hit that upload button.
I know.
Exit. Stage left, even.
No! It'd be the episode 3 Darth Vader thing. No! Yeah. But yeah, even what a rocky past with going from week to week and then every 2 weeks and then trying other stuff and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, 100 will be a pretty cool thing. But he says, "By the way, I have to ask, what's with the main game ending? What's the plan for future Gamesman DLC? Expansion packs, microtransactions, trailers, wallpapers, screensavers, life-sized autographed posters of Hardly Dan wearing a scarf on his head? Anything?" I don't know, Dan. You want to divulge anything?
Nah, let's leave it till 100.
Oh, you sure? You might as well just go ahead and spill it.
No, we'll leave it to 100.
All right. Okay. So there you go. There is your complete impetus to to watch, to join us for the live show. So, yeah. He says, anyway, love the show. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Big Rob 029.
Oh, God.
He says, P.S., is Steve coming down to Redskins country for MAGFest this year? And I do not think that I am. I initially wanted to, but I still have nursery to work on being sick, and then all kind of crap has kind of put the delay and the kibosh on getting the nursery done. So I got to do that. But he says it's basically going to be a crazy game enthused weekend. And yeah, music and gaming festival. I really wanted to go down. Yeah, I know it is going to be a crazy game enthused weekend. I bet it's going to be a lot of fun, and I am jealous. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Rob. Thank you very much, Murphy's Law. Thank you very much, Mr. Simon D.I., and thank you very much, Mr. Nebula 427, for all of your communication and making this show a ton of fun. So, clean up shout outs, Scott.
Yo. It's Christmas time, and I just want to say I'm blessed with a lot of good friends out there, and I don't know if they're all going to fit in this list, but I'm definitely going to throw Mr. Joey Ice Cream in there. And Mr. Chris Acidby Cox, he's going to be down here for a week or two. I think we're going to hang out some.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it always is.
Yeah, I've been trying to get him on the show, but he's been rather busy.
Yeah,
when we record. Yeah. I know he has a lot of crap going on, but hopefully we'll still get him on for the 100.
Yeah.
Dan.
Yeah, a bit of a surreal one. I want to shout out to the weather. Stop frickin' raining. We've got like loads of amber alerts for flooding around here at the moment, and it's frickin' crazy. So I haven't actually seen anyone because it's been too wet to approach outside.
Now, you know, so, amber alerts over here are like for kidnap kids.
Oh yeah, we have color alerts for the weather as well as other stuff.
Like, please stop raining. I'm having trouble kidnapping these kids.
What kids in the street? What's going on in England?
Yeah, we've got a flood of kidnapped kids. You can't drive anywhere without running over.
It's so hard to accost these children when it's raining.
That's what they went.
Oh, God. Anyway, for me, number one, all the listeners, everybody out there, Merry Christmas. So I hope you have a safe and wonderful Christmas. Spend it with the people you care about, since the world isn't ending. So enjoy yourself. You know,
screw them. Go do something fun.
Yeah, I know. Do something for yourself. Number two, I got to feel my kid kick for the first time the other day. So that was awesome. It's almost like surreal and kind of creepy at the same time. So, it just makes me think of that whole, alien thing where he just bursts out of the chest. I know. But still really cool.
A little top hat and a cane and starts dancing.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
Well, that's the thing. He's been Michigan J Frog up to this point. Like, you know, all the time he's like singing, everybody loves the Michigan rag. And then I go put my hand over there and he's like, ribbit. Oh, yeah. And other than that, VGHub.net. There is a great wealth of gaming content over at VGHub.net. So go check it out. Wait for the week to come, Scott.
Where I always am, sitting in the TeamSpeak if I'm around. And you can get that information from me from Twitter, which is @rabid_Scotsman. And it's the same for Steam, where I also always am.
And so. Just in case you've added a secondary web address to get onto the TeamSpeak, so there are two. If you're having trouble getting onto the first one, there is a second one, so you can get a hold of any of us, and we can kind of give that off to you.
So, yes.
Yeah. Dan, web for the week to come.
Yeah, same as last week in the past 3 months. I'll be playing some Guild Wars.
Yeah, really.
So, yeah, if you actually want to get a hold of me for anything, @HardlyDan on Twitter, or it'll be in Scott's TeamSpeak, sitting in that Guild Wars channel, probably.
Really?
Yeah, also, obviously, Steam, Xbox Live, probably won't be on that, but HardlyDan, add me. I won't be playing. Don't add me. It's worthless. Steve, what about yourself?
As far as me, it's JSS LIFELIKE pretty much everywhere. That's Nintendo Network. That's Xbox Live sometimes. Not a lot. Probably not for 6 months. PlayStation Network, every few days when I either decide to play The Walking Dead episodes or watch Netflix. And by the way, Scott, just as a one-off, I finished Assassin's Creed 3 the other day.
Oh, no.
I think you might like it, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. There's a possibility. It's a lot more like the first one. It reminded me a lot more of an Altair Assassin's Creed. But anyway.
It's not like the first one. It would have ended with the first one. I mean, that was my issue.
I'm still not sold on the present day stuff. I'll just tell you that. But the story told inside the Animus this time is wonderful. It really is. It's wonderful.
It's called history. If for any of you can go to a library and read about it yourself.
The Assassin's Creed spin on it is pretty cool. I gotta say. Yeah. I gotta say. Kind of neat. But anyway, yeah, if you don't see JSS LIFELIKE somewhere, then chances are I'm not there. Dan, you want to pay the bills?
Yeah, don't forget to check out our Facebook page. Give us a like on that. We have no new likes and no new names to read out. If you want to get on the show or can't do it live, leave us a voicemail. We want more. Call the RPG hotline. The number is 412-267-RPG1. That's 412-267-RPG1.
Yeah, and if you want to get on, if you can't join us for the Game of the Year show, you want to leave a little message, about 100 or my exit stage left, then call the RPG hotline.
And we'd love some more emails, because we're going to take some random encounters and things like that. So email us. The email address is thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us. Our Twitter account is @thegamesmanrpg. And we've got one new follower, Front Burner.
Yeah, you know who that is.
No.
It's not Back Burner.
No, that is Josh Dean, who used to be Kmart Gamer. He kind of, I think he left Sears, and now he's sort of starting his own social media thing. So, yeah, best of luck to him. Pretty cool dude.
Yeah, go check him out. Don't forget, you can also listen to this show and a fair few of our last ones on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/thegamesmanrpg. There's one show left, the Game of the Year show. Steve said we kind of like your input, and we'd like to see you guys there live, so check us out.
Yeah, the information of that, I'm planning on probably adding a little MP3 addendum to the feed over the next few weeks. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the 12th of January, which would be the second Saturday.
Cool.
And
be hosting it too, so people can make their accounts on Ustream or Twitch.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I think what we're going to try to do is get the Rabid Gaming channel up on the live section of the site, and probably do it off of that. I think
I was having issues with own TV, and now it's Twitch, and yeah, it's everywhere.
It's hard. I know. It's streaming is not easy. But, you know, we're going to try to get that done. And if you're hearing this, by the time you're hearing this, the Game of the Year poll should be up. We're going to do one Game of the Year category. That's it. Game of the Year. And the rest of the time, the live show, we're going to bring in you as callers, listeners, bring you in, let you talk, see what your Game of the Year is and what your favorite moments of the show have been over the past few years and things like that. So getting pretty excited. Live show. And I swear I'm not drinking this year. I'm not even getting close. Because
8 hours long if you do. I mean,
oh my God, dude. Playing Dude Where's My Car the next day was awful. Terrible. Horrible even. All right, we're done.
What a bow on it. Merry Christmas, you bastards.
On behalf of the Rabid Scotsman, on behalf of Hardly Dan, I am Lifelike. We are the Gamesmen, and until episode 100, we ask,
what role will you play even? No.
not fully satisfied with this podcast, please return any supporting for a full refund.
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.